Issa Touma, you are a photographer, a curator, I would say a cultural worker based predominantly in Aleppo, Syria, lately also traveling a lot with the aim of spreading the word and doing projects internationally, mostly around Europe. Europe actually is lately overwhelmed by the influx of refugees from Syria and from the Middle East. And I remember talking to you 2 years ago, and you said then that that now it's the time to stay. So do you still think the same? I mean, you're still based in Aleppo, and you refused actually to leave for good.
I think maybe, as you remember, one of the your word I like it, you know, that after Arab Spring end, we should clean our areas from lot of like ideas come into the our museum and organization under the name of the politic and freedom. So I think this was right, and in our talk in Holland, in Finland was really right. But one of the important things for me, it was to stay there, and because the art is built outside the country, it will be far. It will be not the real reaction of the people inside the country. And year after year, we can see the people who choose to leave the country to outside of Aleppo or Syria. They become really like echoes of the newspaper, Western newspaper. They didn't come real. They didn't show real what is going on in Aleppo or in my country in general. So I think the artist in the complex area should be close to the people, not far from them. I don't know how you can change something in the country when they are living in the West. The idea is to stay in and work inside the country, give us really important and unique experience. And this is very important for any intellectual. Imagine how many times in your life you will see dramatic change in your country and you will be part from this history. I know it's danger, can be people die, but can people die everywhere? So in reality, it's risky, but it's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess leaving the place, meaning giving up.
I remember I meet Russian writer who live in the diaspora outside Russia a long time ago, and I asked him question, how many Russian reading your books? He couldn't answer. Because he's Russian, he's not Russian anymore, you know? He's writing about Russia, but he cannot say anything. No one from the Russian hear him. He cannot affect anymore in his original country. And the people, if they lost the root, then they will lost everything, because he will never become part from the other side, because all his memory is there, and no one will hear him in original country. So this is this is complete loser. The best to live short in original country and not live long life in the foreign country.
So to go back to Aleppo, the situation in Aleppo is kind of horrific. You said it's a war zone, and the situation is deteriorating since 2012 when it started. Basically, the city is divided, or I would say even under siege. What is the situation now? We hear that there is about the offensive of the army. Is the situation getting better in Aleppo? Do you have any information about that?
Yes, because I lived just like a week ago. I'm doing my tour now in Europe, so I can tell you some fresh information. Like last few weeks, opposition was bombing all western side of Aleppo crazy way, day and night, because they are losing front of the Syrian government army. So my idea is, if they are really working and fighting for the freedom of the people, why they should bomb every time the civilian and not the army? So they are not, I don't think at all they are working for freedom. They are working agendas of other people. And this is very sharp now, because last weeks they bombed Armenian area, the Christian area, the Kurdish area, the Muslim Sunni area. So they didn't, no one could escape, you know. For Aleppo situation, it's, I think now if the army moving to finish it, people of Aleppo, they don't care anymore what is going on and who's going to stay in power. They are really care to end this war, because this war is really terrible, killing them slowly every year. I know now maybe it's the war is taking different and difficult situation, but most of the people supporting this huge movement, because to end, if there is no huge big movement from any army, the war will not be terminated. It will continue bomb each other forever. I think this movement was necessary and very welcoming from the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're already dying, you know, we don't care, you know, anymore who's going, if there's big war or a small war, at least the big war can finish something.
And also, I mean, all that, what you said, it's also very often integral part of your artworks that you're doing. Because it's impossible to avoid the war in your artworks when you're living for 4 or even more than 4 years in the war zone. And recently you published a video called The War Outside the Kitchen Window, which shows the beginning, the outbreak of the war from your perspective, from your window. And it shows also the shallowness of media representation, the constant simplification. So can you tell a little bit more about this video?
I can tell you the name of the movie is 9 Day from My the 9 Day from My Window. So the I shot it 2012 August 19, but it showed like the people when all the international media talk about the opinion talking behind the civilian of the Syria. Like you can see a lot of Western presidents say, oh, Syrian refuse this, like this, do this, support this or that. So this, it's really shit, because 9 Day movie show that the people who carry weapons, they can come in any street and occupy it and start to shoot inside. And this reality become really real in West also in Paris attack last year. You know, because it's also the people who carry weapon choose some street and shoot inside. So we don't choose in reality the war. You know, we don't choose the people who talking with our name here and there. They come and they talk with our name and they decide for us and we don't decide it. And the movie, it was really important to show this reality, to show that the fanatics. The many of the revolutionary got into fanatic in 9 days, not take 4 years, as the many Western politicians say in West here. So in reality, it's big lie, the Syrian case, because at least it showed that it was a lot of the majority, it was jihadi movement. It was not freedom movement.
And
the people who talking like, I'm sorry, people who are secular, and living in West, you know, why they living in West? We need them in Syria, so they should come back and fight for the country, not because not they should stay there and try to do change from, I don't know, Amsterdam, London, Paris. They cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, every war, especially civil war, is always a very complex case. And you said that you. Also in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, participated at the protests that suddenly broke into shooting. What has actually happened? You know, how did all start? Because we have indications that the aggression and the violence came somewhere from outside, and that these protests, anti-government protests at that time, were not meant to be violent at all.
Yeah, but it's a big lie that everything was peaceful movement. That is big lie. Because when they talk, if you can see that the people repeating the same thing, it is not true. Because in the University of Aleppo was peaceful. But in many popular area, there is videos of the opposition also prove this. You know, they say we come by weapon to protect peaceful demonstration. They are saying that openly. So if there is something like that, how they can be peaceful, you know? People was carrying weapons and shooting on the police or shooting on the other side, whatever it is, you know? But it does not mean I'm supporting using weapons in any case. I'm against the weapon always. But the problem what's happened here, you know, they start in many, many area was with weapons. And the famous movie of Return to Homes, it's in the, he say inside, the weapon we use it to protect the peaceful demonstration, we should use it now to protect the revolution. So there's a lot of documents like this. So what the hell they are talking about peaceful demonstration? Some areas, yes, but not everywhere. And this is sharp. And if you end this story, you can end big part from the lie, because you cannot any revolution turn into jihadis completely in suddenly in one night if they are not ready to accept the jihadis.
Yeah, so basically that's, as you said, it's a struggle of a secular Syria now against the Islamists, basically.
Yeah, but in reality they didn't give a chance to the secular people to exist, you know. Most of the people was really accepting the jihadis incredibly way, you know. Just like, and secular people run out to get Western nationality. From the beginning, early beginning, 2011 and 12, we can see most of the Western capitals full of intellectual from Syria, which they choose. Oh, this is my chance to get some salary and good life in West under the name of the revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, basically in the West, from our perspective, also in terms of art, you know, and there were several exhibitions organized, especially in 2011 and 2012, after the outbreak of war, and it seemed that all had the same agenda, all these exhibitions. They were basically serving as a political propaganda in favor of the rebel forces. And later on, I realized that most of these artists who are, you know, part of these exhibitions either live in the West or live in Dubai now. I'm talking about Tamam Azam or Amar Abdrabo and artists like that who were constantly, but not anymore now, but at the beginning of the war, they were constantly at the front. So this is one side of the story. And then on the other hand, last year you curated an exhibition of 5 Syrian photographers for the Photo Festival of Leiden in Netherlands, which shows another side of the story. It shows the inside of war. It shows how the artists are dealing with war. So what do you think? What can artists achieve, actually, in the war zone?
Actually, I can tell you something from my experience also in art camping project, because even the 5 artists we showed in Leiden give the same message. Because there's a lot of people die in the war, you know, and the newspaper always focus on the die people. Oh, they will be happy. You can see the sad faces of the TV programmer and saying, oh, 20 die, 40 die, bigger number. He show himself that, but inside him he's happy because the number will give more attention of the news. So, we choose the people who stay there to focus on the alive people. There is half of the city, it's full and complete, you know. Why the people, they are not focusing about the alive people to protect them? When they show the media that destroy city, yes, of course, there's part from the city completely destroyed, like Berlin in the Second World War. When we show the life, then they will have the responsibility to protect it. That's why the news and the politician in West ignoring the alive part. Mm-hmm. We still have people, heroes, going to university. We still have children, heroes, going to the school. We still have people open empty shop every day, but he tried to do his life. He tried to show life. So if we stop showing a live part of the Syria, we use art for that, and I think we successed for that, because we keep sending message of life in the end until make the people hear it, you know. So this is really the way we can change something. We can also limit the power of the armies, because the armored people always against the civilian. We don't have weapon to protect ourselves. But if we show to everybody that we're still alive, we're still people going to the work, doing this, this is, can change a lot. Mm-hmm. Even the soldier will have a little responsibility against the civilian or with the civilian.
I mean, talking about this alive part of Syria or Aleppo, it also regards your recent series of photographs entitled "Woman We Had Not Lost Yet," which shows basically portraits of female, as far as I understand, refugees, and it shows their fear and defiance at the same time. So can you tell something more about that?
Women We Have Not Lost Yet, you can see that it's really important for me and for Aleppo, because those women, if you see it in the book, the majority are Muslims, and with all other ethnic who live now in Aleppo city. Actually, the Syrian revolution is empty of the women, you know, almost empty. If you see that 280,000 video, they are proud that the internet is full of that. It's all men talking, male acting, few women inside. There's 20 around, I don't know how much, maybe less than 20 women, blonde and rich background, active in West, which is not enough, you know. Where is the woman voice? What the woman fighting? What do women really scare in that situation? Because he's losing his, the woman lose the boyfriend, the father, mother, the father, the brothers, and everybody, you know. So they are dying in the war. So they are lonely, scared, and no one care about them. In, especially in Syrian case, there's incredible big ignoring of the woman. Only they care about them when they reach the refugee camp, like in Turkey or Jordan. And this is not enough, you know, because they, even there, they don't have voice. They are numbers. So the book, it's focused for the first time, the ethnic we have it in one city and what they are scaring from. They are scaring from the jihadist power. They are scaring that they will lose the independence they have it. They will lose the dreams they have it, you know. And this is very important. In Syrian case, you can see something really like important also, that the majority of the Muslims, they are not supporting, which is Sunni, in after all this tragedy happened to them, they are not supporting Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia lead himself. He's not leading the Sunni world. Mm-hmm. And this is really important to understand that, because if the Sunnis in Syria always repeat one word, they are, even before the conflicts, holy land with dirty people. So they don't say it. This is Sunnis talk about that. But so what if, why the West always complimenting Saudi Arabia, and why they're just like they look at Saudi Arabia as the leader of the Sunnis around the world. It cannot happen, this, you know. It's not, mm-hmm, happened, because he's not leader anything, you know. It's Wahhabi mental, which is create Daesh from him, you know. Like Daesh, all the world now making war against Islamic State because they cut maybe 10, 20 heads. So Saudi Arabia cut last year 92 heads. Why we are not going to kill the evil, and we are cutting the tail of the evil in Syria.
Yeah. So, but if I go back to your work as basically as a photographer, and if I go back to the period before the war, you were working in different fields of photography, and I think one of the most outstanding works that you did is a long-term series of photographs of Sufis and their rituals. So basically, you were following the Sufis and their rituals for many, many years, all the way until the war. What's the story behind all that?
The Sufis, it was my long subject, because I worked with them like 11 years. And Sufis become part from Victoria Albert Museum 2010. This subject, it was really like one of my favorite work, because the area I worked inside, it was really far in the middle of the desert. And incredibly that they use the Roman calendar, the old Roman calendar. They don't use the Islamic one or the other one, you know, or the Christian one, which is changed. You know, you remember that calendar. So that's why this celebration I photographed east of Aleppo was really difficult to find, because there's 3 week difference between any calendar and this one. So in the world, the Sufis become really like in very tragic position, because all the Islamic fighters hate them. So immediately they kill them. I saw one of them who was survived. They cut his hand. They cut his. They tried to kill him in many with the knife. Just torture him just because he's Sufis. And this was silent genocide in Syrian case last 5 years, and no one talked about. I tried to post about many times, but was no reaction at all. Sometimes people, they don't want more problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I think, the idea, you know. I was really like, I didn't know how much people from the people I know, I photographed them dead now in Syria. I will know that in the end of the war, but not now. But I hear many of them left the country forever. Even the head of the Sufis, he is now in Jordan. Not because, I think because he's really very scared. And let's see what is going to happen after 1 year or 2 years. If the war ends, maybe we can know how much things we lost.
Mm-hmm. But you said both sides are against the Sufis. Why? Is this like the mysticism, kind of like mystic rituals that don't belong anywhere? What's the reason, you think, for that?
No, I think most of the Islamic fighters in Syria, they don't like the Sufis. They don't like it at all. I don't know why, because they are so peaceful. That's why? I don't know. Because they don't like maybe peaceful people, you know? Like the peaceful opposition still in Syria, but it's silent now because they cannot act. The first people will kill them is the armed soldiers, armed jihadis. They will kill them if they move.
Yeah. So how strong was basically the Sufi movement before the war in Syria?
No, it was a small minority, but they create fantastic. Culture. It was not more than 100,000 between 20 million people, but the music and which is mixed religious music with the traditional music, it was really amazing. Like one of them, everybody come, like Hilali Zawiya. One of the much beautiful music ever you can hear about the Sufis is in that area.
Yeah,
and now it's a war zone, you know. It's like his building only is 400 years old, amazing acoustic, and yes, it was really amazing place. I spent long time there to listen to the Sufis music.
Going back to Aleppo a little bit, you mentioned before that people are still defiant, they still hold the shops open, they're still working, they're trying to keep the life in normality. And basically it's the same with you. You basically have a gallery, you run a gallery in Aleppo. At the moment, is it still open? Are the conditions good enough to have the gallery
open?
Mm-hmm. So, the gallery, I found out now that it was basically, they call it the first gallery, photo gallery in the Middle East. You opened already in 1992, right? What was...
No, 1996. In 92, it was the old one, yeah.
Uh-huh,
old one,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, what, in 1996, you opened the new gallery, and then after a while, you started running a festival, Aleppo Photo Festival, which throughout the time quite famous in the region and worldwide. And can you tell something more about the festival and the gallery? How did it start and what was the response and actually the local support in your hometown? of Aleppo?
I think I started because I want to reach really like make the photography really popular in the city. And when I opened the gallery, first photo gallery, I didn't know that it was first photo gallery. I discovered that later. So for me, the gallery I find is not enough to reach a lot of people and show the contemporary photography. So I decide I try to find another option. So I come with the idea of the photo festival. And the photo festival, I didn't want to do it in the gallery or the building, so I moved into popular area like Shebani building in Old Town, which was controlled in that time by tobacco company. So by the pushing of the government, pushing by the festival, we push it year after year to come back this huge area, which is like around 6,000 meters square, into art center for the whole city. So not just it become center for the festival, it's become also center for the many international activity happening in Aleppo. And this was one of the basic movement, huge important movement in the cultural life of the city. Photo festival play big roles because it make incredible connection face to face between the artists who come from West and Aleppo people, which is it make also incredible attention of the Western diplomat and Middle Eastern diplomat. During the 15 days of the festival, you can see wonderful mix between Aleppo very popular people and art organization who participate inside, and also the diplomat, and also the workshop which happened between the art student and the international artist. So it give really into a very big change in the society. And for me, it was important because I was know that the culture is the only way to stop the fanatics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you kept the festival running also during the wartime. I remember last year,
yes,
you had the edition of the festival in the gallery with one beamer, because that was the only thing you could collect, as far as I remember.
Yeah, we made it funny way because we make the folders in the computer, and we made opening. We choose some artists for the opening day, and later the days after, people come and choose by themselves what they want to see. So it was really great, and it was for us because we cannot use more than one beamer because we have no electricity enough for that.
Mm-hmm. And the electricity
we
is probably running.
We cannot use many machines.
Yeah, it's probably running by the generator or something like that.
We use generators sometime, but when we don't have oil, we rent electricity from the mafias, which is called ampere. You know, like you can rent 1 ampere or 2 ampere weekly. But it's not work well because it's not enough for many electricity.
Uh-huh.
Many machines, I mean, not electricity. Yeah.
Yeah, and how do people react to the festival of photography or the photo event in the war zone under siege? Did they come? Do they come in big numbers?
Yeah, a lot. We have some opening over 200 people, and during the week it's come around 500 people. People change always, but always we reach more new people because of the war. The war make because the people move from area to area. Some people left the country, so it was not easy always to find the same public or reach the same public. And that's why it's people audience of the festival and also any activity we do, it's very changeable. Even for the workshop we do it because sometimes people left, and we work with the new people, and always we're running to reach more public.
Okay, now, so yeah, we are heading towards the end of the interview. I just have like a final question for you. I remember when we were talking 1 year or 2 years ago, you were always very optimistic about the situation. You would always say the war will end soon. It can't keep on going. So what do you think is the will be the outcome, and what will be the future of Syria now? Because now it seems that war is ending soon. There is like a peace conference will take place soon in Europe and so on. What do you think will be the outcome? What will be the future of the country?
You want to talk about the peace conference outside or about inside Syria? Whatever. I can talk about both of them. First, if I am Syrian government and going to the peace conference and meeting those people who are in the peace conference in Geneva or whatever, you know, I just like I think people, it's really a big fun. I think let's imagine that the Syrian government went to the conference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what is changed? Changed nothing. Let's imagine that the opposition went. The conference. So do those people have the courage to come back to Syria? No, to make government. Of course not. You
mm-hmm.
understand what I mean? Because even the opposition, if they take the power, the fighters inside, they will cut their head and play football with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Geneva's things. Yeah, it's just like big game, like international game, everybody to clean his face. West want to show, look at where I did democratic change. and it is not, you know, at all. Those people, they have no effect at all inside Syria. Let's work, talk about on the land inside Syria. Inside Syria, I think people, they want to end the war. They don't care who's going to be winner. This is something very sharp, you know. They want to stop people bombing them. They want to stop all these things. And I think next time when the Western country, they want to make democratic change in any country or successful democratic change in any country, they should not give the responsibility to the Saudi Arabia to do this democratic change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this is really one of the terrible things ever can happen. I think also when the Western leaders, they don't have any problem inside Syria, you know, they should let the land to the people who have program.
Mm-hmm.
Putin, if we like him or not, you know, he come with the sharp, for the first time in 5 years, we saw someone saying sharply what he's going to do in Syria. So the other Western, you know, the leaders, they never ever we understand what they want from us. So in reality, let's end your question with this word. Do you prefer to have honest enemy telling you what he's going to do, or to have a lot of friend lying to you?